You can
I
make
have
fun
no
of.
jokes. The show right now is making its own very good jokes.
Maybe that's what we should do.
What?
Instead of just say like, oh my god, oh my children's mad, I can't believe it. Or something
like that. I'm not as enthusiastic as you are, that's the only problem.
I know, but come on, it's better than what we've been seeing.
Alright, fine, we'll get to that in the show. How about that'll be the intro?
What?
This week on All My Children.
Oh my god, my All My Children's back! I can't believe it!
Alright, it's better than usual. But it ain't there yet, but
oh
it's pretty
god,
good.
Oh my god, you are just too hard
It's pretty good.
I'm glad I'm not your husband. You
like
are too
it,
hard to please.
I like it pretty much.
All this week on the Pine Valley podcast.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have not been tuning in.
You can't tell them that. This is the Pine Valley podcast. We're supposed to watch so they don't have to.
Now they got to pay me. They want me to watch
them. Angie gives birth to a bionic baby. And the baby is so superpowered, it makes Angie so insecure that she leaves town.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
Your mother is the person who's there for you when you have a fever of 105. That's your mother. Just because she put you out of her vajayjay, don't make her your mother.
He actually motioned to his groin.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Even if you're a dipshit like Brian, you dipshit! I hate you!
Crap buzz, I wish you would call me or make a lunch date with me because I would tell you to your face you're a piece of crap. You'll kill my show.
I would tell you you're a bitch and you ruined my show.
Turn down your iPad, your listening devices.
iPad? Is that like a maxi pad? The Pine Valley Podcast Best Drama Award goes to
the bitch.
Not All My Children.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending July 29, 2011.
For the year ending.
I knew you were going to say it. I was
I
trying to
say that.
I was trying to go long so that you didn't have an opportunity to say that.
I'm always going to say it. It's been like a year since we did our last podcast.
Girl, complain.
We did our last podcast before this heat wave.
Heat wave. This
heat
ain't even
wave.
A heat wave.
It feels like a heat wave in this apartment. We're in my parents' apartment.
We are actually in Jordan Hudson's apartment.
She wanted to eat. And my dad was cooking.
I wanted to hear what he was talking about Dominicans. And so far, I haven't seen nary a one.
Then you weren't looking close enough because they're all over. None of them are working. And a matter of fact, if I had a BB gun from this window, I could like take shots at all of them.
We are in trouble now.
I'm making a game. Bang!
Oh my god!
Bang! There goes the Dominican.
If the FBI ever caught hold of this would be in trouble.
They don't care about no damn Dominicans, FBI.
No.
That's oh my god, you are so.
They do on celebrity rehab.
On celebrity. There's Dominicans on celebrity rehab?
No, but there's some pretty tacky people. They called the cops on Amy Fisher's husband. Any of y'all watching celebrity rehab?
I can't get. You know, I'm every anti reality show.
He's very anti reality.
I'm watching just Jersey Shore Extreme Makeover, the fitness edition one.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I like that. I find that
so
very
Shadow.
Inspiring. I find it inspiring because unlike that other show, The Biggest Loser, where those two trainers
oh,
are
Shadow
constantly
likes that one.
They're constantly yelling at them and degrading them. I don't believe in that way of training. I just don't.
You being a personal fitness
yeah,
trainer.
Yeah, me
yourself.
Being a personal fitness. I would never. I mean, you gotta be stern.
He's a very positive person.
You gotta stern and be pushy.
He's never
because,
negative.
No, the guy on Monday. But what's his name? Who my sister told me he has a kid. So I'm very upset because I thought he was gay. He seems like such a queen. He's so hot.
That don't mean he ain't gay.
But
trust me.
But Chris Powell, that's his name. Chris Powell. He, you know, he could get a little mad at them and a little stern with them, but he never like yells at like that. Like, I don't know. Every time I see The Biggest Loser, those two are like really mad. Like, that doesn't inspire me. I don't know.
Me too.
But speaking of inspiring, you know, I don't know what it's going to take for you to be happy about All My Children.
You know what made me really happy today? Your father's cooking. I had a Jordan Hudson's father's meal. You know how he's always talking about arroz con gondule y lechón.
Oh, yeah, pernil.
Empanadas.
Empanadas Mexican.
No, we do empanadas. empanadas? You don't do empanadas?
Pasalito, whatever you call them.
Pacalito?
No, no, pasta. But I forgot how they say it, but it's not. It's not empanada in Puerto Rico. It's pastillos or pastel. I don't know how to say it.
Pastelillos.
Pastelillos, something like that.
That's true. That is what we call them at home too.
Not empanada. Empanada is that's Mexican. That's like a, I don't know.
But it's the same thing. It's a little meat inside a dough pouch. It's delicious. But we didn't have that today.
That didn't sound right. Chicken. A little meat inside a dough pouch.
Jordan got all excited.
That didn't sound right, though. I don't know.
Listen.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying because it's little, you know. Because nobody likes a little. Nobody wants it too big either.
Stop
you want it to fit just right.
He's drooling over Juan Pablo. That's why he's getting all these thoughts in his head. Juan Pablo's back. The microphone. Juan Pablo.
I saw the Smurfs Friday.
How? You didn't say.
What?
I'm trying to talk to the audience about your father's cooking.
Oh, go ahead.
I have beans.
Red beans.
Arachuela roja. Y arroz blanco. Y
avocado,
aguacate,
chicken,
pollo,
y totones.
Y totones. And it was perfection.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
He got nothing on my mom. My mom thinks she's the best Puerto Rican cook ever, but then I have your dad's food. She's
you better let your mother hear that.
Her crown is in trouble.
You better let your mother hear that. Puerto Rican parents are very you know, about their cooking. Because my dad's like that. My dad's like, my dad would be like, you know, you don't like it, but you haven't tried mine. That's my father for everything.
He wouldn't let me wash a dish. That's how nice he was.
But no,
he's
old
school. He served me my whole meal.
He's old school Puerto Rican.
He really is. He's amazing. He
won't let nobody clean because nobody will clean those dishes the way he will. And I'm being serious. Like he'll come, and if my mother washed the dishes, he'll rewash them. But in my father's defense, with my mother, you got to do that because my mother does a lousy job. My mother does everything like very half-ass. She doesn't like put her heart and soul into it.
I don't mean to be stereotypical.
What?
But it feels as if in your particular household, the roles are reversed.
In what way?
The father does the cooking and the cleaning and the mother does the working.
Well, that's because my mother's working now. My father's
not to
retired.
Be a peasant, people.
My father was retired. Like when we were growing up, my mother was at home. She was a stay-at-home mom. And then when all of us got of age, then my mother went back to the workforce. And then when she went back to the workforce, my father was just like, he needs his food. So he started cooking.
Wow.
And I preferred it that way. Not that my mother's a bad cook. You know what it is? It's not that my mother's a bad cook. But my dad, he loves to cook. And he loves pleasing people. And he loves seeing people enjoy his food. So when he cooks with his heart and soul. And you need that when you cook. You got to cook with passion, you know, passion.
He gave me the freshest, most perfect, most beautiful piece of aguacate. It was perfect.
I love that.
His chicken was spiced so beautifully, perfectly. You could taste the individual seasoning.
Yeah,
it was really.
My dad. When it comes to preparing the meat,
were perfectly seasoned.
He knows how to put. He puts just the right amount of garlic. It's not too much.
Does.
It's not too little. Because sometimes at the restaurants where they do
better than restaurants.
Oh no, I don't really like eating Spanish food at restaurants. It doesn't taste the same. Well, it's not even that, but they because so many blancos come in there, they don't spice it up right because they don't want to make. So sometimes it tastes a little bland.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, I like. But the totones the restaurants do, what they do is they give you the little jar of garlic, like a little plate of garlic, and then you like dip it in. That's way too much garlic. I like the way my
sometimes
dad makes it.
Sometimes I like that. If it's fresh. No, but you know what? Not the restaurants. I've had my family members do it where they make it fresh. They mince the garlic fresh. And
right.
Fresh olive oil and fresh rock salt.
Uh-huh.
That's delicious.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying like to dip the whole thing in there.
No,
like,
no, that's not right. Just garlic. You have to have the garlic with the rock salt and the olive oil.
Yeah.
You have to have and the parsley. They put the parsley in it.
Yeah.
Or the cilantro sometimes, whatever.
I will say this. There's a restaurant in the east side, Sofrito. It's like a fancy Puerto Rican restaurant.
Yeah.
It's a fancy Puerto Rican restaurant. That was good. I have to admit, that's one of the few. That and there's this ghetto Puerto Rican restaurant on 14th Street in Chelsea called Taza de Oro. I like their food too.
Yeah.
Most of the times I don't really like going. I'm like, I'd rather eat at home or like my friend Vanessa, her mother. Ooh, child. Her mother knows how to cook some food.
Well, it was amazing. Thank you.
I'm glad. I'm glad you liked it.
I'm so happy I ate here. I'm so happy with the podcast here. Can you hear the street noise?
It's quiet.
I'm
it's
telling
a,
you.
Girl, you keep saying that and you're going to bring it upon us. And all of a sudden, a car's going to park in front of here with the reggaeton blasting. These moments are moments that I'm like cherish. It's like, We're not in the room where the next door neighbor, you could hear her.
I don't know. That's over there. I don't know if I believe all your tall tales.
No, they're not tall tales. You'll see. I bet you anything before this podcast is over, you're going to hear. You're going to hear some merengue bachata.
We can talk very quickly about the Smurfs.
I love the Smurfs. The Smurfs was so good. Was that a real cartoon? No, they did the CGI. It's real people in that. Yeah, it's for kids. But adults will love it too because there's some double entendre kind of jokes that that will go over the kids' head.
I like that.
But I loved it. I thought everything about it. They had a story, and one of the things I don't like CGI is because it looks so fake sometimes. But the CGI for this was really, really good. And the actors working off the Smurfs, like Neil Patrick Harris, Sofia Vergara, Hank Azaria. I can't pronounce that last name. That's almost harder than Mariska Hargitay.
Mariska Hargitay.
I can't hide Chelsea Handler.
Mario Fatale.
Ugh.
Fat Alley.
Sorry, go ahead. So, like, they worked off that very good, considering that there was nothing there. They're working off a blue screen. Like, it was believable. I believe that these Smurfs were real.
That's their job.
It was good. It was very good. It was very clever. You haven't seen the Smurfs? Go see. I'm ready to see it again. Me and my sister want to see it again. It was so... I cried like 4 times. I cried at the Smurfs. It was so touching. It was like... There were a couple of scenes where there was a scene...
Was Papa Smurf in there?
Yes, there was a chorus. It was
Smurfette?
Yes, Smurfette. Katy Perry did the voice of Smurfette. And I really...
I love Katy Perry.
I kind of was like...
I changed my mind about her.
I got to tell you, I wasn't too pleased because I'm not a big Katy Perry fan, but she did a good job.
She's a good performer.
It wasn't... because sometimes when these celebrities do the voices... They sound just like themselves.
You never saw her. She tried to Elmo clip.
She tried to.
Great.
She tried to do Smurfette.
Even though people
and
got
then
used
they
to her.
They introduced a new Smurf.
Who?
Mexican Smurf.
No.
Yeah, George Lopez was in it.
That's awesome.
No, actually, I'm sorry. He played Grumpy Smurf, but he didn't.
Who was Mexican Smurf?
He didn't sound grumpy. He sounded like his normal self. So I was like, when did they introduce Mexican Smurf?
And then for half
the movie, I'm trying to figure out which Smurf he was. Because all I kept hearing was George Lopez. He didn't sound angry. He just sounded like George Lopez. I keep waiting for him to go, mira papa Smurf, vato, esale, ese, ese. And instead, at one point they go grumpy. And I'm like, oh, he's supposed to be grumpy Smurf. I'm like, no, he sounds like Mexican Smurf. But it was so adorable.
I'm not laughing at that.
And then I saw Captain America yesterday. Loved Captain America. Captain America was Marvel's version of DC's Batman the Dark Knight. It was that good.
Really?
It was my favorite out of all the Marvel movies. It was so well done.
And you're a comic book fan.
I know. I'm a very big... And Chris Evans, when I heard he got cast, I was like... Because I thought he was great as Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. I'm like, why are they casting him
at
Fantastic Four?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, Chris Evans. He's the brother of Fish from One Life to Live. His real life brother.
Oh, that's right.
And when I heard he got Captain America, I was like, oh, no. Let me tell you, he sold me. He was Captain America.
Was he considered a no name at the time, or did he have a little bit of a name?
No, of course he has a name. Yeah, okay. No, yeah.
I don't know any of those movies. I don't watch those movies.
He's been around forever.
I watch Elmo.
Yeah, okay.
And Curious
anyway,
George.
Captain America lived up to the hype. It was brilliant. I loved me some Captain America. All right, let's get on to the soap.
I'm sweating my tits off.
Well, you wanted to come here. I told you it's a hot house. We don't have AC or anything. It's not your inside of your car. It's hot.
I put myself on the scale. I think when I leave, I'm going to be 3 pounds lighter.
And then with my father cooking, the house is even hotter. So
I took a shower before I came here. I should have taken it after.
You're going to be taking a shower while you're here.
A reverse shower
is going to be drenched.
Dang.
All right.
So where do we stop?
I cannot believe...
I'm rubbing my hands together.
I cannot believe that she is not living for all my children.
I'm
living for all my children right now.
But that doesn't mean it's not good. It's fun to watch.
I'm living for it. I'm sorry, people. This has been the best that all my children has been in years. I mean, in years. Not even that little bit that Lorraine had when she was a head writer for that little time was as good. And I love that, but this is, to me, the best. You know why?
It's very good.
Because this is stuff that Aggie would have wrote.
It's very good. Why is that not good enough for you?
Huh?
It's very good. Why is that not good enough for you? For me,
because I want you to be excited about all my children, because I'm excited about it.
I gotta be honest.
I could do a podcast about all my children every day now. That's how much I love it.
Yeah,
there's always something to talk about.
He says that. There's always something to do. He's always got something to do.
It's always. She's lying to people again. It's always on her. Don't listen to her.
Give me a break.
I'm unemployed. I got like two clients right now.
How come every time I call you, you're like, maybe, well, I don't know.
Because she calls me and she goes, I got 5 minutes on Tuesday from 3:45
to 3:50. Two babies. And they're now 2 years old. Dang.
Right now, I could be at Orchard Beach. That's the beach in the Bronx.
What do you want? A medal?
They call it something else.
Uh-oh, what do they call it?
I can't. Can we curse in Spanish?
Yes, in Spanish you may curse.
They call it Chocha Beach.
I don't know what a chocha is. Whisper in my ear.
It's a JJ.
Oh, we call it Toton.
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 I've heard it called that. That's like the New Rican ghetto term, I think. I don't think they use that in Puerto Rico.
Chocha Beach.
Chocha Beach. I don't know. And before people get upset, and women get upset. Let me tell you, I hear more women calling the beach Chocha Beach than men do.
Why? Because the women like let the chocha
spill? I don't know where this started from. I just know that, I mean, it's, you know what, it's, look, for me, it serves the purpose. It's the closest beach to where I live, and already it's a nightmare to get over there by bus because I don't drive. But to go to any of these other beaches is going to be like a day and a half to get there. At least this is right here in the Bronx. I can go to the gay section, get out of my G-string, get some sun, and get out of there.
Did you say get out of your G-string?
Yeah.
I didn't know you wore G-strings.
When I'm sunbathing, yes.
Really?
And when I used to
you
go-go.
You have a brown, little brown behind? Because my behind's very white.
No, yeah, I guess sunbathe a little bit, girl.
Wow, that's awesome.
And my G-strings are from my go-go days. What are you talking about?
I want footage from that.
I could show you a picture.
I want to see it! I want to see it! Can I post it on Facebook?
No!
Why not?
No.
Is it only your butt?
Huh?
Is it only your butt?
No, it's me. Let me rephrase that. I used to go see Larissa Dumont on Monday nights at the Monster.
Who is that?
Larissa Dumont is a Puerto Rican drag queen who is phenomenal and fierce and fabulous. But she's no longer the host of the Monster, so you don't need to go there. And she used to host a night there called Sabor Latino, which was Latin night, and they used to have an amateur strip contest. And I won 65 times, lost 5. And I beat real go-go boys. Oh, and then I go-go'd one night at this bar. And I wasn't feeling it. It wasn't as fun as doing the contest. So I didn't accept the position. But I go-go'd one night and I actually got tips.
You didn't accept the position. Think about how that sounds.
I said I didn't accept the position. I didn't say I didn't assume the position. They wanted me to keep go-going, but I was like...
Are we talking about all my children or
and
not?
Wait, and then, oh, did I tell you, I was with my friend at this lesbian bar, and this lesbian was tipping
Chocha
me.
Bar?
This lesbian was tipping me, because I was dancing.
Oh.
I got hit on more at the lesbian bar than I did at the gay bar.
You love lesbians.
I have no luck with guys, I'm telling
you. I'm not going to have this argument with you.
All right, so let's
get
out to all my children, because we're already like 30 minutes into the podcast. Now look.
Men,
I don't know.
You.
I don't know what it's gonna take to please you. I'm gonna tell you what's pleasing me.
I tell you what's gonna please me.
What's pleasing
more
me?
More okay.
Yes.
That's so much.
For those of you who are watching, Erica stabbed David. Because first,
we gotta match up.
First of all, I gotta tell you, I love me some Erica and Jane. I'm sorry, Lorraine Broderick is a goddess for making this dog of a storyline turn into one of the best storylines ever.
Shit to Shinola,
as Ashley loves to say.
I love it.
Let me tell you something. It's
Steve Martin's the jerk.
It's all about the writing, people. Yes, it's a contrived storyline, but it's a classic soap storyline. And once Lorraine Broderick got her hands on it, she gave it some winning dialogue.
You have to put that kind of classic storyline in capable hands.
And you got to make it fun, and you got to find the humor and the beats and the moments. And let me tell you something: when Jane announced to Kendall, Opal, Bianca, and Jackson that she was in love with David, and then David proposed to her, I was on the floor.
Well, did you hear Opal?
Yeah.
Opal was like talking to her and being, honey, baby, what are you doing? What in darnation in the hokum pokum? What are you doing? And Erica's like, what's with the darnations and the hokum pokums? Please give it a rest.
I tell you, I was on the floor with those scenes.
I was rolling.
Those scenes were so...
And Susan Lucci was amazing.
Walt Willie was amazing during those scenes.
She was Jane, right?
Yeah, she was really... Jane. I got to give Susan credit.
Give her credit.
She was really loving it. She was playing every moment.
She was great.
Once Lorraine took over, it's all about the writing, though. It's all about the writing. Susan knew how to play it once the writing was there. Once the material was there, she knew how to work it, because you know what? A good writer writes for your actor.
Because the good writer tuned into...
Writes to the strength of the actor.
Tuned into, but also, I was going to say, tuned into the core of Jane, which was a deep, deep insecurity.
Yeah.
And that's what she captured. You have to think about what would really... Like, you're going to have this crazy storyline. What would really make this woman do this? And it has to be a desperate, deep, dark insecurity. And once she played into that and figured that out, and then when Jane took... quote unquote took off as Erica and started experiencing all these great things, then she could explode. But she's not Erica. She doesn't have the core, so she didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So she acted like an asshole.
Yeah. And it was becoming very noticeable.
Right.
And I love
it was perfect.
And then what happened?
That's a big compliment.
Yeah. And then after that, while that was going on, Erica decided to try to like write her book while she's being held captive.
See, I thought that was a little bit of a trick, though. No. I thought she was playing a trick.
I mean, she definitely was trying to, like, get Ben.
I thought she
was going to lie. No.
So that Jane would say the wrong things.
I think she was doing it to try to win Ben over. But in the process, what we got as the audience members was we got what they wanted, which was we got to know the real Erica. I mean, we know her. But for Erica to admit her life and everything, and like hearing Susan do that monologue while she was telling Ben, like, you know, starting the book, and then they showed that whole montage,
that was funny.
And then they showed like those scenes with her and the mother and Mona, and I see, this is what I'm talking about. It's all about good writing. When they showed that old scene, Erica was like, I don't need a man to make me happy. And then Mona was like, well, you're married enough of them.
It was perfect.
I mean, they don't write like that anymore, people. That's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant dialogues.
Yeah.
And I wept like a baby during that. And just like Ben, my heart went out to Erica. And that's what changed
just
Ben. That's what changed Ben. And Ben then decided that this had to end.
This is Ben's heart going out to Erica. Erica, I feel for you. It's too bad what happened to you. I wish I could free you, but I can't.
You're putting too much life and energy into it. I'm sorry, look. I heard that somebody looked them up at IMBD and that he has a lot of credit. Somebody told me he has a lot of credits.
Yeah,
That's sad.
He played King Lear.
That's sad. I mean, I gotta tell you. Good looking man, but God, he can't act.
Good looking?
He's attractive. But boy, there was this one scene.
Ty Egglesfield is good looking.
There was this one scene. Wait,
Damon
listen,
is good looking.
There was this one scene.
I love you. What's his name again? Real name? Liam.
No, not
Ryan.
Like a
Fisher.
Fig Newton. Finn Wittrick.
Oh, Finn Wittrick. Oh, I just gotta say.
Remind me. I gotta tell you something about him. But wait. So like there was this one episode where his acting was so cringeworthy that I was just like. I literally couldn't watch it. It was so bad. Like I was amazed at how bad it was. Like he made like every bad actor, even our beloved Brianna Moncrief, look like a stellar Oscar winner.
I believe it.
I mean, this is by far like even what's his name? Remember the black hole? What was his name? Kobe's band member. Look at that. We can't even remember his name.
Oh my God! Don't remember.
The one, the black hole. He used to zap all that. Like every bad actor on All My Children, if you took every bad actor and put them together, that still wouldn't be as bad as Ben was. I mean, Ben was the worst of the worst,
honestly,
I think.
Yeah,
honestly,
I
like,
think so.
Like, I don't know what's her name was smoking when she hired him.
How did he, what kind of credits did he have on IMDb?
I don't know. Somebody told me on our blog, which I gotta tell you, it's not that I don't want a blog, yet again, Google is giving my ass a hard time. It's not accepting my codes.
And I know.
Every other week, I'm having problems with Google. So I have to try to figure out how they will let me on. Because right now, they're not taking my password. They're saying that I'm not Jordan Hudson. And I'm not Jordan Hudson 2.0. Now I got to create another identity. No, Jordan Hudson
3.0. Before I leave, I'm going to hook you on.
Like,
right?
It's so annoying already. Google, you can kiss my Puerto Rican ass. You drive me crazy.
All you got to do is go to downloads.com and look up password thing. And then just get a password, free password
program.
It's
so annoying.
All your passwords.
This does remember my password. That's why it's so annoying that it's telling me it's not accepting it. Because it's like, how could you accept it one day and not accept it the next? But anyway,
Ben,
he didn't feel bad. He realized that Jane's crazy plan was crazy. So then they try to convince.
It only took him 3 months.
He's telling Erica that he's going to, like, help her.
There's something wrong with Jane's plan.
And Jane busses them. They're so stupid. Yes. They don't even realize that Jane's listening to them through that wall. So Jane goes off. She's like, Ben's betraying me. And then Erica tells Jane, listen to that message I left you. So Jane hears the message. And then Jane's converted because she realizes she will never be Erica Kane. And I got to tell you, those scenes with Erica and Jane, when Jane finally, Jane didn't take Erica at her word. She was moved by Erica's speech, but then she went through Pine Valley and she overheard Jackson talking to, I think, was it Tad or somebody? Jackson was saying, like, he would never give up on Erica, even though she's in love with David marrying her, that he's never going to give up on her. And she realized that what Erica said is true. And then she overheard
David and Greenlee.
And then that was the final straw. So then she comes back and she tells Erica, everything you said was true. And then came the most beautiful scenes where Susan Lucci was, like, so phenomenal as Erica Kane, because it reminded me of that storyline with Carmen Sugar Morales when Erica was going through that I want to help women mode. Like, I felt like she was Wonder Woman. Like, here she was. This woman held her captive. But she's telling her, you know what? I'm going to forgive you. Because I understand. And I just thought it was the most beautiful stuff. Like,
also said she was going to let them go if they...
But the whole dialogue and everything, it was like... Erica's at this point now where she is, and I hate to say this because, you know, I'm not a big fan of her, but she is like Pine Valley's answer to Oprah. You know, she was somebody who came from nowhere, this poor girl in a small town, and made a career out of her for herself and everything. And here she is.
Is she
going
to do an hour-long episode where she preaches to the audience about how to live good lives?
No.
All right.
Yeah, she's not that stupid.
Thank God.
I'm sorry. I'm really... You all know. I know Jillian from Daytime Confidential is hating me right now because she loves Oprah.
But
I can't. I love me some Jillian. I keep telling Jillian to hang out. She keeps thinking you're going to...
Jillian, I couldn't open that link. She had a Twitter link.
She keeps thinking you're going to be Puerto Rican and Slicer.
No.
For hanging out. I'm sorry. I'm spitting.
That's all right.
She thinks you're going to slice her if she hangs out with me.
I love Jillian.
Tell Jillian she can hang out with me. I need a girl to come out with me and be my wingman at the bars, girl.
As long as she don't record no podcast with you,
I think me and her will have so much fun out and about.
Jillian,
come on, girl. Hang out with me.
Hang out with us.
We'll make the rounds in the East Village. We'll go to Urge, the Cock, Eastern Block.
About the world hip hop guy. I couldn't open it.
What was it?
I think it was some guy shaking his wee-wee. I think it was.
Oh, no. Are you talking about that white boy who was dancing to Trina? She posted that on her Facebook.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah, girl. You're right, Jillian. That was sick.
What happened? What did he do? I couldn't
It was just some white boy in, like, what looked like Pampas doing, like,
but
Trina. This hip hop.
Was his thing shaking?
Oh, girl. It just was bizarre. I was like, oh. Jillian posts some fun stuff. She posted this hot white boy dancing on the train.
Jillian
that was
from DaytimeConfidential.com.
Hi, Luke. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
All right, so listen.
Wait,
so then,
go ahead. You want to continue or you want me to continue?
You continue because right. I missed a little piece where she escaped.
No, she did. They didn't show when she escaped. She agreed to let them go.
And she shows up.
But it was so cute the way she did it because then Erica's like, the only thing you got to promise me is that as soon as you can, you're going to get back your old face. Like, it's that simple to just go to the plastic surgeon and go, can you get my old face back? That's good writing all around because that's something that Erica, like, and the thing that was a masterful thing was that Erica then shows up to the bar where Jackson is, and is like hugging him, and she's just like, "I'm back, it's me, Jack." Da, 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 da.
I was held and captive I was for 3 months.
And she tells this whole story, and Jackson's looking at her
perfectly every day.
Jackson's looking at her like she's crazy, and the thing that I really love is the fact that it would be in Erica's nature to not think things through and think, maybe I should bring Jane along just so people could know that I, like, she just assumed that everybody's going to believe this cockamamie story. And the fact that everybody was just like, huh? I was on the floor.
I was on the floor when David comes in, and David is trying to protect his whole plan.
Yes.
So he agrees. He sort of pretends to agree. He knows that Erica's
back. Yeah, of course.
But he pretends that Erica has gone crazy. And she gets so pissed. And all 87 pounds of her grabs a butcher cleaver.
Well, no, first she tried to choke him. And then they had another, like, hour of dialogue. And then she went and she...
she grabbed this cleaver and she just put it in. He went, oh.
She did an Annie on him. She did an insanity on him.
Here's my thing that's so funny. All 87 pounds of this woman, anytime she hits someone or attack someone, they act as if they've just been hit by, like, you know, Hulk Hogan.
Girl, you don't know the power of Pilates. You really don't know. Miss Susan Nucci does Pilates.
Am I right?
When you do Pilates, don't underestimate how
David
little you are.
David grimaced as if he was being squeezed to death by the Incredible Hulk.
Girl, he got a knife in him.
No, you think that
you're Puerto Rican? You should know what that's like.
Listen. First of all, we use a shiv. Second of all, you think all 87 pounds of goodness could actually even make a nick on that man? Seriously, you have to cut through. I want a doctor to write into our show.
Are you trying to say he's a little bit chubby?
No, no, no. I'm talking about even just muscle. He actually looks kind of fit to me.
He ain't no Caleb or Michael Knight, but
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. He ain't no Caleb or Michael Knight.
I'm just sort of tired. I wish someone would react to Erica hitting them or striking them the way you really would. Like
what? Just like, go like this, go and blow out.
Blow on her, she topples over.
Go.
Just give me a little bit of reality once in a while.
Erica, leave me alone or I'm gonna huff and puff and blow your house down.
No, they just like a little fly, like take their middle finger and their thumb and just flick it.
Well, let me say this. The one person that I felt should have believed Erica's story was Jesse. I mean, this man came back from the dead after 25 years, so he's nobody to be looking like thinking like, oh, your story don't make no sense.
Well, so then what happens is that, of course, Erica gets committed. She stabbed the guy. She stabbed the guy.
They put. They think she's crazy, so they put her into Oak Haven. But the one person who does believe her,
her best gal pal, Opal.
And I loved it. I love the fact that Opal was the voice of reason. I love the fact that Jax is telling her what happened. Opal's going, okay.
Okay,
and he's like,
it. And
he's like,
some woman came along and took your dead place, surgery and took your face. And then she kidnapped you, stuck you away while she lived your life as a crazy loon.
He's like, he's like, you believe it? And she's like, yeah.
Of course I do. Why would our gal lie?
I thought it was brilliant. I was eating it up. I thought it was so fabulous.
Why wouldn't you believe it?
I thought it was great. And then I got to give, I'm not a big Jackson and Erica fan, but I got to give Walt Willie props. The scene where he punched David in the face. This was going back before Erica showed up. He punched David in the face. Jackson was finally a man. I got to give him props. Because with all the shit that Jackson's dealt with over the years at Take the Day, no, he was all man. He was all man. He said, you know, David, the hell with it. And he went, bam. I was like, Jackson, you just got a lot of points in my book for that, boy. I was like, yeah.
I didn't want to get ahead of myself, but I actually really liked for the first time in a long time the scene between when he finally admits, tells everyone that he believes her.
No, yeah.
It was a beautiful scene, people. It was beautiful. And that's where I start thinking about all the times, like, I see those special moments. I think about you and talking about Lorraine and her writing and what Agnes would have written.
Yeah.
Those small scenes for me are what make the show.
Yeah.
I live for those moments.
Well, I think on any soap opera, those are the scenes that actually make it.
And
you
she
know?
Was like so happy, and she was just lit up from within, and she just the chemistry was there again. It felt like Jackson and Erica from a long time ago.
It was brilliantly done. Everything I gotta tell you, this was all really good stuff. And then,
well, let's go back. So then she gets into Oak Haven.
Uh huh.
And then where we see, not only has Dixie been committed to Oak Haven at this point.
Yeah, because Dixie was Zombie Dixie broke out of where David was holding her.
She's Zombie Yenta Dixie.
Zombie Yenta Dixie.
In that sweatsuit and that short hair and the little bit of poof to her butt. She's getting a little saggy ass there, my Katie McClain.
She's a woman of a certain age now.
Oh, crap.
She's a woman of a certain
age. She
ain't
much older than me, baby. And
I know, but some women... Look at me, I look good. But some women, as they get older, their bodies change and there's nothing they can do. They get big bones.
You would think that she spent years behind a secretary desk. That ass is just spread wide.
She's thick.
My goodness.
She's thick. She's no longer the...
And her beautiful tetas look a little teetish to me. Like teats.
What's teats?
Teeth, like cows have teats. What? I don't mean it like that!
Oh my. I don't know about all that. I actually feel her breasts. I don't remember her breasts looking that big.
That's what I'm saying. She's looking a little teat-ish. I'm sorry.
They look big. That's all I knew.
The people tune into the Pine Valley podcast to hear us call it like we see it. I can't sugarcoat it.
This is all new to me. Teat.
I can't sugarcoat that teat, fat teat, ass teat, and that teats. Teat. I can't sugarcoat it.
I'm going to train that Queen Ellis today.
You are?
He's fine. Yeah, because
is he gonna call?
No, because he wanted to train right now. We were doing the podcast. I said, I'm doing the podcast right now, so I'm
training as we speak. I'm having a reverse shower.
Oh, I thought you were doing those Kegel exercises. I thought you were doing those Kegel exercises women talk about. I was like, TMI.
He actually looked at my cooter.
I was like, she's exercising. No, he realized that he's a man of a certain age, so... He has been, because, you know, now he has a kid, because he took in his brother's son, and he's raising him. That little boy is so adorable. The first time I met him, he spit out his bubble and licked my face. Aww. I was like, I guess that's his way of saying that I'm his. I don't know. It was very strange. I said, Ellis, I think your nephew's going to be a queen.
How old?
He's hitting, like, 2, I think.
Okay.
But he went, like, Ellis goes here, and he puts him on my lap, and the little baby goes, spits out his bubble, goes, and I was like, your nephew just licked my face.
How come when a 2-year-old licks you, it's not gross? It's sweet. When a 2-year-old licks you, it's not really gross. It's kind of sweet.
I think it's gross. Oh, I don't like when dogs lick me. I don't like it. There's only one person I want licking me, and that's my man.
All right, fine. So we get to O'Kaven.
And there
we see Janet from another planet. We see Marion. We see Annie and Sani. And Erica.
Yes.
And it is brilliant.
And it is 2 days of nonstop hilarity and brilliance and use of history. And these four women know how to work the comedy aspect.
Without a doubt.
It was the best. It was so good. So good. Do you remember any of the dialogue so you could do it for the audience?
I wish I could.
It was.
I know Janet from another planet. So Thaddeus.
Yes.
Thaddeus, you're here. I'm Jade. Wait, what is she again? Jade, Janet Dillon? J-Dill.
Yeah.
A-Chan. And M-Chan, right? M-Chan.
Yeah.
So that was funny.
Yes.
And then she started leading the group in yoga. It was so bad. It was so bad. It was so good.
It really was funny stuff.
And they were just like jabbing because Annie was pissed that Erica is like trying to get away with stabbing someone and that's what she did to Erica. So she's pissed off because... They're trying to prove Erica's insane, but I'm crazy. I'm the crazy one. She's perfectly sane for stabbing someone, and I'm crazy.
My favorite was when Miriam was like, it was so nice of Scott to come and visit me. And Annie's just like, well, that's nice that he came to visit because he never comes to visit me. And then Erica's like, well, maybe if you wouldn't have slept your way through his family. See, that's classic All My Children. I thought that was hysterical. I was like on the floor with all the dialogue.
And Marion was so perfect. Oh, she was my so God. Pathetic.
When she cornered Tad.
How's Liza? How's
and the
Kobe?
Thing is, she came out.
I'm ready, Tad. She's
no,
great.
Tad, darling.
She kissed him on the mouth. I loved it.
She was amazing. It was just brilliant.
Well,
brilliant
I'll tell
stuff.
You why Tad was there. I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
They're all there. They're all crazy and stuff. And then all of a sudden, they admit a new patient. And the new patient is Opal. And she's wearing a Palmer football jersey. Did you see that?
Yes.
She said Palmer.
Opal was pretending to be crazy so she could break into O'Kaven and break Erica out. And if that isn't a classic Opal stupid scheme, I don't know what is.
And Erica's like, but you're not crazy, Opal. She's like, yes, I am crazy. crazy. I am most certainly crazy.
And she was just going on and on and on. It was so much fun. And like, the thing was that all these women, all these characters have so much history with each other. You know, Opal has history with Janet. She has history with Marion. And yep. So like, it was just all fun.
The writing was great.
Fun stuff. The really writing was great. Fun. On point. And I was just loving
all it. The Janet killing, putting someone in the freezer, and
I think there was one line where Erica was like, "Will you guys stop?"
I didn't kill him in the freezer.
I think was it Erica.
He was already dead when I put him in the freezer.
It was Erica who was like, "Erica was like, stop comparing body counts."
Yeah, it was really funny. It was great.
It was just great. I mean,
but you know, like I liken it to like, you know, we'll talk about One Life to Live in a few minutes, but it's kind of like that. Like there's great things to be had in comedy on Soul.
It's so great when you can poke fun at yourself.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's making All My Children so much fun, because just like One Life to Live is finding the humor in
really
the situation.
Oh my, and really subtle comments, digs, I love.
Yeah, I mean, it was just great. I mean, and again, just the use of history, the fact that Tad had an affair with Janet without knowing that she was Janet. So that's one of the reasons Janet was excited to see him. And the fact that he slept with Marion, you know, the only two that he didn't sleep with was Erica and Annie. Yeah.
He never slept with Erica when he was a model?
No.
Remember when they had
people always wanted them. They never put them together.
Never. Didn't she sort of discover him, Tad, as a model?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Well,
because she got Jenny involved with Olga.
Olga Svensson.
So while all that's going on, Opal, of course, gets taken out by Tad.
But not before Tad has a moment. And I have
at the door,
at the
yes.
Door. Dixie has been in isolation. And so she's in isolation. And all of a sudden, Tad walks by this door. And she can't see what's in the door.
But he can feel it.
He feels something. And she feels something. And she's been zombie crazy ass Dixie.
I know. But she felt it.
But for a moment, she was Dixie again. Her old self.
And for those of you who don't remember, see, I remember. When Tad was missing for those years after he saved Dixie from Billy Clyde and he became Ted Orsini, there was a lot of that going around when Tad came to town as Ted and he kept missing anybody who would know. And him and Dixie would always be like a doorway apart or something, or looking up at the same star, which again, I thought that's the reason that Dixie was making stars in the wall,
because that's
the thing. For those of you who don't know Tad and Dixie's history, they always would look up at the star. And that's how they would know that they're connecting with each other, because they're looking at the same stars.
Yeah.
And so all of that is classic brilliance. So the two of them sensing each other at the door, I felt like it was 1980 again watching it. It was so great. It was so brilliant.
I'm going to say it. It was the simplest moment.
That's all you need.
No dialogue.
You don't need no damn tornado, special effects, CGI.
I was practically in tears.
Yeah.
She was so gentle about it. He was so, like, the longing, you could see the longing in both of them. And I'm going to cry right now. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah. And then what happened was Erica, at this point, had pushed Annie. And I love the fact that Annie milked it for all it was worth. She was milking it for all it was worth, saying that Erica pushed her and broke her arm and stuff. So that nurse Ratchet was like, it's over on the other side.
I need an outlet.
She's trying to find an outlet.
Let's move the computer. Grab the computer, Jordan Hudson.
Move it to this end.
Yes.
You want to really move it.
Here's the plug.
Uh-huh.
Now plug that shit in.
Yes. Wait. This is what you call low budget podcast.
That's right. We're not in the studio anymore. We'll go back to the studio one day, right?
Ow!
Jordan Hudson?
Oh, damn.
Wait. Jordan Hudson.
Yeah.
We'll go back to the studio one day,
right? You're the one who lives far away from the studio, not me.
I could do it, though. It's not that bad for me.
There you go.
Oh, that's good. Hold on.
Is it in? Is it plugged?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So anyway. So then, wait. So we were talking about... So then Erica, of course, the Nurse Ratchet, Black Nurse Ratchet, she grabs Erica and she goes, I could tell you right now, I already know, you can't play well with others. You're going into solitary confinement. So Erica breaks free from her, which was like the stupidest thing, because it was so retarded struggle.
87-pound person.
The power of Pilates, I'm telling you, it's the power of Pilates. So she gets away from her and she walks in, and the episode ends Friday with her going, Dixie? And I was like, oh my God, it's 1983 again. I was on the floor. I was like,
but
I
you know what's going to happen. They're going to say that Erica's so crazy that she's seeing
Dixie. Yes, of course. But it's a soap opera. But look, all I know is that my show's back. That's all that matters to me. That's all that I care about. Because the worst thing that could happen to a soap opera is for it to go out the way the Santa Barbara did, the way Loving did. When you are a soap fan and you love your show, you don't want it to go out like that. Like As the World Turns, where it's like you don't even recognize it. You don't recognize the people. You want it to go out the way Ryan's Hope did, with Maeve singing Danny Boy. You want it to go out the way Guiding Light did, by finding its way back to its roots with its core and its family. And you want it to just go out like on a high note, the way Another World did those last 7 months when it got back to the Corys and the Loves. So for me, it's just like, if September, and we'll talk about why I think that this Park Avenue whatever online thing isn't going to work, but anyway, we'll talk about that later in the podcast. If this is going to be the end of All My Children, I want it to end the way that it came in, as the classy, intelligent, thought-provoking, touching, realistic drama that it was. And that's what I'm seeing now, and that makes me happy.
That was beautiful, and I agree 1,100 billion.
I'm sorry I got emotional and serious.
Why
but
do you get sorry? That's
well,
beautiful.
No, because it means a lot to me. I mean, I didn't think that this was going to happen, especially with the crap that Donna Swojcicki and I can't even remember his name.
I don't want to even say their name. I really don't.
Hyman or whatever.
I can't stand them.
They were doing such a horrible job. Like, it would have hurt me so much. So to get all these people coming back, like, I was gagging. When Mr. Castillo made that phone call, Dr. Castillo, and all of a sudden, my Maria, St. Maria in the push-up bra, answered the phone. I was living. I know you don't love her, but I love her. I love my Maria. Eva LaRue can do no wrong. She's half Puerto Rican. I love her. I love you, Eva.
I have to ask you a question.
What?
Why does Griffin always sound like he's crying when he's talking?
That's just him. He was like that in Guiding Light.
Sounds like he's crying when he's talking. Everything's broken up.
I don't know. He's Cuban in real life.
He's so melodramatic for me. I don't know.
He's Telemundo, maybe.
I'm not into him.
Telemundo.
Everything is like life.
Querida Isabel.
I don't know.
This week on Diana Carolina.
I'm not Griffin. I'm not a Griffin lover.
I'm a Griffin lover, and I'm loving him with Kendall. I'm hoping that Thorsten K comes back as a ghost to say, move on, girl. Get
you
that
know
young
what
hunk.
Other scene I loved?
What?
And I don't even like the actress.
Who?
I know you like her. Madison and Scott on the park bench. Except for the fact that he was holding that wiener dog in a very peculiar way. It was a very, very nice scene between two people who had been in love.
Look, I'm going to tell you, I've liked a lot of scenes with a lot of actors.
Didn't you like it?
Yeah, I like a lot of scenes with a lot of actors. Like I still think that it was a beautifully well-done scene when Maya was with Angie, and Angie was explaining to Maya how she gave up Frankie for adoption. And for the first time, I actually saw Maya as a character, and I actually gave a damn about her for a second. You know what
for
I mean?
A second.
Like.
And then Mookie came on.
Like, I had to say, Mookie was looking kind of good the other day on one of the episodes.
Man,
I was like, Mookie's kind of hot. I can't get over that name though. Could you imagine?
Mookie.
Could not imagine dating
Come
somebody
on,
and be like Mookie.
Mookie. My sister's
Mookie.
Dog is named Mookie.
Isn't that the name of the character that Rosie Perez was like dating in?
Yeah, something like
Mookie.
That.
Mookie.
Mookie. Get over here, Mookie.
Get over here, Mookie. So I gotta say, but see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, all of a sudden, like, but you know that when Angie gets her sight back, she's gonna be like, look at the baby and go, this ain't my baby. And then she's gonna be like, Jesse, what did you go do?
That's
the first thing
she's
gonna
exactly
say.
What she's gonna because
a mother knows her kid.
Lucy. I really don't think so. No offense, Jonah Hudson.
I think that's what they should do. I think that'd be fine.
We gotta wrap it up soon. So
we didn't wrap it up. We just started.
Listen, I got two babies.
Oh my God! All right, so
you
wait.
You don't understand.
And you only have Precious to what time?
5:00.
Okay.
That means I gotta be out of here in like a few minutes because I gotta give myself an hour to get home.
All right. So all right. Well, we got like a good 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
All right, so wait. So then, another scene that I loved. Another. Well, first of all, for those of you who don't know, Dixie broke out where David was keeping her prisoner which for some reason was the other side of Ben, where Ben and Jane were holding Erica. And the thing that I love about this storyline is that it's obviously becoming a very complicated storyline, which I like. The fact that David is obviously working for somebody or with somebody because he's on the phone to somebody about this Orpheus project. Maria knows about Orpheus. That's why Griffin got in contact with her. And then David keeps referring to the others. And I don't know if he thinks he's on an episode of Lost or what's going on. But obviously, Dixie's not the only one who he's been experimenting on. And as we know, so many people are coming back. So who knows if he does have, maybe he has Zach. Maybe he has Leo. Maybe he has Babe because Alexa Havens is coming back. Who knows? For all we know,
you're right. You're absolutely right. I didn't think that when I was watching Fridays. That's such a good
He could have Stuart. He could have Jenny Gardner. He could have Angie and Jesse's real baby. I would buy all of that because I want a happy ending.
You are incredible. I never thought of that.
No, we don't know. He's referred to the others.
Hold on, because I was watching Friday and I was kind of disgusted because I'm like, oh, I'm so sick of this evil Dr. David and bringing people back from the dead and all this crap. And then I'm realizing, well, they have to do it because if they want to get these old players back,
yeah,
the only way to do it is to make them undead. So I'm going to tolerate it for a little bit. But now that you bring that up, that you mentioned that, you're so right. I forgot about that. But I heard that they're more likely to bring Leo back as a ghost. That's
yeah, I think from the commercial that I saw.
Commercial?
Yeah.
He was on it?
Yeah. Where have you been? They've been showing that commercial forever.
I watched it on the ABC player. I don't see no commercial.
Oh, yeah. They showed a commercial with all of their returns.
Oh, my God.
And he's talking to Greenlee and he's like, what's the problem? And she goes, I love you still. And I love Ryan. That's why I think it's a ghost thing. I think it's a...
I don't know, but that would mean it's a person.
No, I think she's having, like, issues, and she's like, you know...
No, because if she's saying, I love you, but I love Ryan, that means she's got to choose between the two. She's going to choose Ryan.
Yeah, in her heart. It's just all going on in her mind.
Anyway,
on Daytime Confidential, they broke that Kim Delaney says she would love to come back before the show ends.
Shut up!
Look, at this point... I would even love for Tara to come back to town and find out that Phil's been alive all these years.
What does she look like now?
Huh?
Stephanie, whatever her name is. Oh, no, her name is Stephanie in Saturday Night Fever. That's
oh, yeah, Carolyn Gordy.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. She's old now. And I don't think she does Pilates like Susan Lucci, so I don't think she looks that good. But for Tara to come back and then they find out that Phil's been alive all this time. That's how far back. Bobby Martin?
Bobby from the attic.
Yeah, he'll come down at the very end. That's the way the show should end, with Bobby coming down from the attic with his skis. I'm ready to go on a ski trip. And he's like still dressed like a teenager, but he looks like 104. That'd be hysterical.
All right.
So wait. So then Dixie escapes. And the first person she sees is Brock. I'm not going to say anything.
That's not true.
Yes.
Wasn't it Kathy?
Well, no. She didn't see Kathy. Kathy saw her.
She was stumbling around like a fat old drunk.
And I know that Kathy's seen pictures of Dixie, I'm sure. But come on. The fact that she's going to recognize her. I mean, like, you know what I mean?
No,
and she's like, Mommy.
I bought it.
I was just like.
Hook, line, and sinker. That girl dreams
maybe,
of her mother.
Maybe if it was the other Kathy, you know, I would believe it.
I'm surprised
this
at
Kathy
you.
Can't act.
I'm surprised at you. First of all, off limits. Don't bust on a girl. Second of all, I'm surprised at you.
What?
There's nothing more important to a child than their mother.
I'm not.
There's no way.
But she didn't know Dixie. It was like Dixie raised up.
She only found out
that Tad's a father. She had a woman who raised her as a mother for years.
She knows pictures.
I don't know. Anyway,
the
point is that she saw a zombie from The Walking Dead, and she thought that was her mother. And Kara's like,
Kara's like,
this baby's crazy.
I was laughing out loud at the pictures of Dixie stumbling in the park in that tracksuit.
It was very The Walk. It was AMC's tribute to AMC's Walking Dead.
I felt really bad for Katie because I think Katie was giving it 1,000% and she wasn't filmed right.
Yeah, she looked like a zombie.
It really was really
so then she sees Brock and then it like really looked like, I don't know, it was bizarre. And then what I love the fact was that, like, Brock was stereotypical cop eating donuts, and Dixie stole his donuts.
Yeah,
he said, you got more than one, and then she went ahead and took, like, 10, and he ran after her. And then, of course, Brock doesn't know Dixie, so he busts her and sends her to, like, the insane asylum. But before that, she saw Angie, who's blind, so blind Angie couldn't help her. And then she saw her drunk-ass son, who thought he was in a drunken haze, so he thought he was imagining her, so he couldn't help her. I was sure that she'd get back in Dr. David's evil clutches before the end of the episode. Because I'm like, Dixie girl, you don't have no luck. You got a blind ass friend and a drunk ass son and nothing that can help you.
But you also pointed out to me, we'll be very sensitive about it because we love J.R. Martinez, but you also pointed out to me that the reality of her seeing him might be a little bit, you know.
Yeah, like.
People do double takes when they see people that have disfigurements.
Yeah, like, I just felt like it was an awkward scene to me. You know, no offense. I love me some J.R. Martinez. And
I love him.
I'm just saying that, like, I think it might have put humor where there really shouldn't have been.
Yeah, it
wasn't. Like, it just wasn't. I wouldn't have made that choice.
Or put a touch of reality in there. Like, maybe have her indicate her face, you know, and maybe just ask him what happened to his face. You know what I mean? Like that.
This woman's been, like, on drugs for, like, 10 or 15 years. And she hasn't been outside. And all of a sudden, this is the first thing she saw. And it's, like, yeah. Like, I just felt like it was a very awkward, and maybe it's... I don't know. That's just me. I just felt like it was weird. I thought it was a very weird moment.
And I didn't love the donuts. That was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't like the donuts either. I thought that was a, you know. But anyway.
But these are small complaints.
And of course, on the minors, on the other side, I've been loving all the stuff with Amanda. First of all, we didn't talk about Miss Chrishell Strauss. You didn't think this woman could become any more hot and sexier. And then she got that haircut. And unlike Greenlee's haircut, her haircut is stunning.
She looks like a 50s or 40s. What is it? What's the golden era of Hollywood? The 40s?
Yeah.
She looks like a 40s movie
star. Like, you have to understand, she went from being some hot young babe to a classy, sophisticated woman. I mean, she is...
I'm glad she
I can't tell you,
she's
like...
she's so beautiful. Sometimes you can't, the big hair makes her look a little cheesy.
The thing is, like, that's what I'm saying. Like she's grown now. I mean, she's been on the show for almost 10 years. She's a woman now. This little girl thing had to go, and, like... like, you think this woman could not get any hotter. And then the first time she came on with that haircut, I'm, like, drooling. I was ready to go back. I'm like, my God. Like, she is breathtaking. And unlike Ashley, I think that she's grown as an actress. And I think that all these scenes
with
Jake and the cancer and the thing.
She's
been brilliant. And I've been loving it. I have been loving the JR drunk stuff. I loved when Tab pushed him in the pool. I love all the Tab scenes with him.
I still don't love the chemistry or lack of it between Amanda and Jake.
I think at this point,
I think it's his fault. I'm gonna say it, Chrishell. I think it's your partner's fault. I don't think he's working it right.
All
right.
Well, we've summed up all my children. Now I'm gonna sum up
what I think. He's lame about it.
Yeah, he's lame. He's one of those actors.
He's very lazy.
He's one of those actors. He you know, if he's in the mood, he gives it, and if he isn't, he doesn't.
Like,
he was like that.
John.
We'll get to that. But anyway,
four, 14 minutes.
All right. So, like, for those of you who are not in the know, now Park Avenue Productions or whatever they call themselves, Online Park or whatever.
No, Prospect Park.
Prospect Park, whatever. They said that All My Children was going to start that Monday after it ends on ABC Friday. Now they're saying January. And then they're saying that it's not going to be every day but seasonal. So see, this is why I didn't want to get my hopes up. Because now every time we find out, there's something different. Then they supposedly bought the sets from One Way Children and One Life to Live from ABC. But now they have to get a studio. And still, they have yet... as I read last week, they were meeting with AFTRA, which, for those of you who don't know, is the American Federation of Television and Radio Arts. It's the union for TV actors.
And what happened?
Well, we don't know yet. They had a meeting to find out about rates and how much they have to pay the actors. And this is the bottom line. A lot of these actors are not going to work for
peanuts.
You're not going to work for something that's paying them less than they would get if they get on unemployment.
You guys, it's honestly going to be.
It's not going to be.
It's not even going to be as good as Walmart.
Not going to be the All My Children we know. And to be honest with you, Debbie Morgan's already going to Young and the Restless, and Michael Knight's already said, the last time I read, he kind of said he's done. He's done with Tad. He's ready to move on.
He's right about
And
that.
I'm going to tell you, I love Susan Lucci, and yes, having Erica as part of All My Children is a necessity, but having the Martins is a necessity too. And Tad has become the heart of the Martin kind. He's replaced Kate and Joe Martin as the heart. And without him, Ricky Paul Golden, because I know Ricky Paul Golden will stay on that show no matter what. He's not stupid. He needs a paycheck. But like, he's no Tad. His no Jake way. Is not the no heart way. Of the Martin clan. No so already
when
that's going to be.
He was. Now he's just a lazy old.
He lost the minute he called Amanda a tramp for no reason. He lost me. He lost me.
Her a slut,
he's not.
He?
Yeah, a slut. He never got back in my favor after that. So I again, I hate to be the one to be like Debbie Downer, but I'm really not. Look, if it happens, I'll be the first person that'll be happy and about it. But for me, I'm trying to be realistic, and for me, my own children's coming to an end in September, and that's the way I'm looking at it. And so I'm proven wrong. I'm not, because the other aspect is that I'm gonna believe in them, get hurt, and then get hurt. So I have to come to terms and put closure on my situation that my soaps are going off the air.
That show should have been sold to Sony. That's bottom line. And they didn't want to sell it to Sony.
Because ABC's a greedy mouse.
Not even greedy, but they know that they would have succeeded. And Brian Franz would have definitely lost his job.
Yeah.
Because why would Sony be able to make a success out of it and not Brian Fathead freaking Turd Franz? How does he still have a job, that mother effer?
I don't know.
Well, because
ABC is the only network where you can mess up and still keep your job.
And actually get promoted.
And then get promoted and get rehired.
Can I tell you something?
What?
All three shows doing great. I'm going to tell you right now, all three shows are getting canceled. And I'm going to tell you right now, the reason why they're doing great is because Brian Franz is finally leaving them the F alone. And he's going and messing up the Chew and those other new shows.
Oh, that Chew thing
he's
looks so stupid.
He's leaving our shows alone. And guess what? Our shows are brilliant right now.
I got to tell you, General Hospital... I've already seen I was telling you, actually, the whole tonality of the show changed. Last week, Garen Wolf became the head writer all on his own. There was no mention of Guza anymore. And I got to tell you, at least in my eyes, I see the difference. I saw the difference immediately. All of a sudden, characters were having two character scenes where they were talking and relating. And I know for some of you, that's boring. The pace is boring. I'm sorry. It's not to me. Steve and Olivia were so hot that I had to take a cold shower after that episode. He came over to her house.
Are you sure it was just the lack of air conditioning in
your
apartment?
No, girl. I was watching it in the room with the fan on. It was cool. No, girl. You was ungrateful. But anyway, she's the one who wanted to do the podcast here. I wanted to do it in the park.
I did. I love doing the podcast here.
And so,
I was hoping for some Dominican action. Know what I'm saying? And so far,
I'm glad that there's been no Dominican action. So watch when she goes down to her car and it's on block. There's your Dominican action, girl. So Steve and Olivia, he comes over and Olivia's air condition went off. So the two of them were fixing it. And while all that was going on, they were talking. And then at the end, they were both sweating even though the AC was back on. And she took the bobby pin or whatever she had on her hair out and she went like that. And the camera angle was him looking at her breasts and that wife beater she was wearing. And they were so hot that it was like, it felt like not even 1980. It felt like 1970. I mean, talk about love in the afternoon. I have been a big fan, and I was so worried that the new head writer would not be writing for them. That episode was what I want more of. They are so hot together. And just the scenes between these characters, they brought Monica Quatermain back, which is like the equivalent of bringing like a Martin back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always have disagreed with the fact that Guza decided to kill off the Quatermain family.
That's
I thought it was
crazy.
A mistake
That's
to
crazy.
Kill AJ. I thought it was a mistake to kill Alan. It was okay to kill Emily because as far as I'm concerned, the only Emily is the original Emily. When she left, that was it. And she was adopted anyway. She's not a real Quatermain. But anyway, but like I thought that was brilliant. Monica came back to town. She didn't know that Jake was her grandson because they kept it. They made everybody think that Lucky was the father, not Jason. And she had brilliant scenes with Stephen Burton. And here you had this matriarch coming back to the show saying, "How could you keep this from me? I've lost so much. I've lost Emily. I've lost your father. I've lost your brother. And in a way, I've lost you because after that accident, you didn't even remember me. So I have one family member left. And I didn't even know that he was related to me." And Leslie Charleston, to me, Leslie Charleston showed why you need these veterans on the damn show. Because without them, it's not the same. Her two-day appearance made such a big difference.
The beautiful young people. Like that Asher. She's very beautiful and young.
So I got to tell you.
Where it's at.
The tonality of the show... Laura Wright had this great scenes with Black Sean, and like they were so hot together, and he was telling her about what it was like to be at war. Real simple scenes, but so touching and poignant, and I loved it. And now it looks like Jason and Carly are going to be in a car accident this coming week. And I think this is what I always thought they should do. I've been thinking this for years. I don't know if they're going to do it, but I hope this is where they're going. I think it would be great that in that car accident, Jason gets damaged again, but he remembers his past life. Oh. I think that's the way to go. I think they've done everything they possibly could. Well, everything they possibly have good.
Why are you sitting on this rug, on this floor, and not writing these damn shows? That's brilliant.
I think it would be brilliant for him to all of a sudden wake up and think that it's 1994.
Brilliant.
And he remembers his old life, but he doesn't remember this new life. And yet, it's in his subconscious. So, like, at times, things will snap and come instantly. Like, he'll know how to grab a gun and, like, you know what I mean? But this way, it gives you more certainty. Because what would Carly do if she loses Jason and Jason doesn't remember her? And then he's just about ready to marry Sam. How interesting would that be? And the only person that he would have a connection with is Robin.
That's got to be what happens, though. That's got to be what happens.
The fact that they're bringing Monica back, and for some reason, Stuart Damon's coming back as Alan. I don't know, as a ghost. I hope that it's not a show? They killed them all. I think they should make it that Helena's been holding him captive. I'd buy that.
Maybe.
I want Helena to be holding him. I want him back on the show.
Maybe David Hayward has him.
Crossover.
Yeah.
Crossover. David has
been
him.
Been done before.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it.
Do we want to talk about One Life to Live?
How can we not? 8 minutes of One Life to Live, pure perfection. One Life to Live has been on fire, flawless.
There's only one flaw in my book.
What?
The point of movie is the flaw. I don't hate it.
I'm sorry.
I don't tune into daytime
I think,
to watch this kid go,
I thought it was hysterical. Disgusting. And I love this cheesy lines in the dialogue when he was like, "You want to know why my diploma's so big? Because I had two majors." I thought it was hysterical. And unlike, I got to tell you, young Ford has been working out. That body looked really, really hot. I was loving it all. And I think it was a classic toast.
Disgusting.
I think it was a classic toast.
Degrading and disgusting.
I think it was a classic toast to old school All My Children when Liza decided to show the class, Jenny Does the Big Apple.
When was that?
Don't you remember that storyline of All My Children?
I do remember.
Our Jenny Gardner was drugged and they did a porno movie called Jenny Does the Big Apple.
That's right.
And Liza got her hands on it and played it for the whole school to see.
Right.
And Jenny was mortified and she was running away. And that's when Greg tried to stop her and fell off the balcony and got paralyzed. For me, this was all very reminiscent of that. With Danny.
That's a great storyline.
I love it.
And Jenny was not willing. She was unwilling. She was a victim.
I know, but you know
what? It just
goes to show you how times have changed. He wasn't a victim. That's what makes it even more tragic. And the fact that his brother told him, "You wouldn't do something like that, you couldn't." And then lo and behold, guess what? Your brother did do something like that. I'm sorry. I love it. I thought it was brilliant.
Disgusting.
I love everything about it. I love the movie premiere. I love all the inside.
The movie premiere was perfect.
I loved all the inside jokes.
I have not laughed so hard. I can't remember the last Saturday Night Live episode I laughed so hard at.
The jokes with the after, that was hysterical.
What happened was, is Dorian goes on the red carpet with David Vickers, and she sees Ionia Masters in her dress, and she stomps over him. She goes, "That bitch is wearing my dress." And so they get into this huge fight, and Dorian orders Ionia off the red carpet. And Ionia stomps away, and she says, "I'm going to call SAG." And then she realizes the folly of her statement. She says, "Well, okay, fine, I'll call AFTRA." And Dorian says, "Go ahead and call him. A lot of good that'll do ya."
And that, of course, that's an inside joke to the fact that AFTRA has done nothing for these soap actors.
Nothing for the actors. Nothing.
And the way ABC has been dissing them left and right.
And then the credits. Well, first of all, the I love the announcer. She actually reminds me of Elizabeth Rodriguez a little bit.
Blanca Morales.
Yeah. I thought she was perfect casting. Do you know her?
She's been on the show for months now. She's a reporter on the show.
She's great. I thought she was perfect.
She's fabulous.
Anyway, so I liked her. And she...
It's Blanca Morales.
Blanca
Morales.
Blanca. What the hell is wrong with you? That deserves a little tiny
it's
slap.
Hot.
So anyway, so she says to Cassie... No, not Cassie. Well, Cassie the pilot. She says to Blair, "You know, there was some controversy over the fact that an Asian American actress was playing you." And Cassie said, Blair said something about that.
Yeah, and then when the movie credits rolled, they said Mia Korf as Blair Kramer. For those of you who don't know, that was the original Blair. She was Eurasian.
She was Eurasian.
Yeah, so that was a nice toast to like.
And the credits had like Mel Gibson playing Clint or something.
Yeah, Harrison Ford as Bo. It was really funny, really, really good stuff. I loved all the, you know, the stuff that was going on. I mean, One Night to Live has literally been on fire. Unlike some people, I love all the Bollywood stuff. I love Vimal and his grandparents.
I wanted to tell you about that.
They cracked me up.
I didn't really, you know, I wasn't really watching when they first came on every day. And then I started watching every day because it just was getting so good. And I have to say, I love Rama. I think she's amazing. I'm changed on her. I think she's really,
I love her.
Not only she's beautiful, but she's very interesting looking. Like, she has her own unique look. And I think Vimal, he's really grown on me.
I've loved him from the day they came on. I thought they were so good.
I thought he was going to be sort of like a milquetoast character, but he's not. He's very, very clear. And the parents are so awesome. I love the parents.
Yes, they're very, very good.
And there was this really campy thing where, you know, Rama, because she knows how much this baby means to Vimal's parents, she actually shows up. Christian Vega made me pregnant. You know, and I guess he gave her a belly.
A water balloon.
A water balloon belly. And so there's this silly scene where, was it when Dorian was fighting?
Yeah, and then the Elder Ford bumps into her with the hors d'oeuvres.
With the hors d'oeuvres, and they pierce the pregnant belly. They're stuck. They're sticking out of the
belly. They're like little shish kebabs and little sticks and stuff.
And then the water all rushes out.
What happened was, first, she was behind Vimal's parents. And there were like these little leaks happening. And then Vimal's trying to cover it with his hands. And then finally, it just all popped out by like if she had went into labor. And I just thought, I'm sorry, I thought it was hysterical.
It was great. It was really great, campy, great fun. But then it ended up beautiful because then it ended up where...
They had to tell the truth.
They had to tell the truth. And not only that, Rama said that she really loved Vimal.
Yeah.
Is that true? Because I really believed it.
Well, I mean, I think she really does love him. I mean, I think she's torn.
She might have heat for Christian, but I think she loves him.
It's, you know, the thing again, as they said before, this was an arranged marriage. It's not like, you know, they're coming from a different culture. So,
I think what she loves about him is his heart.
Yeah, like, yeah. She really loves his heart. Well, she's mentioned that you don't... That's been her story now, is that she realized you don't really know what you got until it's gone.
Yeah.
And she didn't appreciate Vimal until she lost them.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm loving it.
Lovely storyline.
I'm loving them. I'm loving my Vivian with my Destiny. Those scenes were really good when Vivian confronted Destiny. And I still say that girl was supposed to be Vivian's daughter. I thought that girl that was the girl that he did the porn with, Middle Ford's ex-girlfriend, I think that Deanna, that's her name. I think that Deanna was supposed to be Vivian's daughter, and I think they probably dropped the storyline. No, she's not.
How old is she, that actress?
She's old enough to be a mother of a teenager if she had a kid as a teenager. Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I still feel like that's why she's doing this teenage party. That's why she's been reaching out to Destiny. I felt like that was going to wind up being the storyline. They probably could have dropped it because they don't have enough time with everything they have to do. But I think that's where they were heading with that storyline. I was shocked when they just wrote off. Because remember, when they hired her with a 3-year contract. So they had a storyline plan.
They hired that bomb of an actress.
I thought she was so good on her first day, and then she just got worse and worse.
She was horrible.
Yeah, she was bad. She was bad.
My God.
But you know who isn't bad, and I don't like when people knock him, is my Bass. I love me some Bass Delgado.
He's awesome.
Some people are not feeling him, and I don't get it at all. I am limited. He is young, and he is bright, and he's energetic, and he holds his own against Florencia Lozano, Ted King, and all these people who can act. He's like right there with them. He is their equal. He is powerful. I love him. I love his choices.
The first day he walked on that set,
you said that before. And when he grabbed Star and kissed her, I believe that too.
She hasn't had that much heat with any guy. I don't even think Cole, because she's always been in these mature relationships.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And when he grabbed her like that, I was like, work, boy, because Ford never got
a bitch to him. Yeah, it was so funny. She was all like her mother. She was exactly like her mother.
And let me ask you, is it just me, or do you feel like she's enjoying working with him?
I feel like she really loves the scenes.
She puts a little, you're right, she puts a little Blair, a little Cassie Wesley into her scenes with him.
When she was like, don't kiss me, she was like, I don't remember what she said, but it was very like,
I gotta tell you, the kids in this show really step up their game. I thought Destiny was awesome with Vivian.
She must have gotten into a nasty fight with wardrobe that day, though.
Why?
Little Star.
Oh, that dress she wore to
the thing? Oh, that necklace? Oh! What the hell was that?
You know what?
What?
It if Wardrobe pays her, they must hate Marissa on All My Children. Oh, my God. Why did they continue to just Marissa like she's a clown from Ringling Brothers?
She must have used a racial epithet. They are...
Ooh. I gotta tell you, hair and makeup is, and costume is not kind to they Marissa on All My Children. We forgot to talk about that.
Oh.
But wait, you know who else has been good too? Danny.
Those patterns are worse than the worst Puerto Rican sofa or couch.
How about Danny on One Night to Live? Those scenes when she told Nate off, she was powerful.
Fantastic.
Fabulous. Do
you think that Florencia has been working with her at all? Because I feel like she had that kind of passion when she was working on those scenes.
No, she's probably learning from watching Florencia.
I guess that's what I mean. But she
came on the show as a firehouse little young girl, but now she's like, she's found her own neck.
I was crying for her because he really betrayed her. She never had sex with this guy.
I know. It was heartbreaking. I got to tell you, I don't know why they don't just make this a nighttime show and call it the Lords of Landview, Dynasty. And it's just about the Buchanan.
Because they're busy making Charlie's Angels remake and Revenge and
so stupid. This show, I'm sorry, it hurts too much because I was telling Ashley that if Trevor St. John had stayed on the show and this show hadn't gotten canceled, this storyline could have played out for years. When you consider the ramifications of the fact that, yeah, this may be the real top, but still, Florentia's in love with this other man. Like, this could have been heartbreaking romances, people turning to other partners and stuff for like eons this could have gone on. Also dealing with the fact that the kids, who do you consider your father? Because for Danny, this is now the third man that she's going to consider her father.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? And then how do you, and for Jack, this Todd,
doing pharmaceutical commercials.
Yeah. This Jack, this is the only father that he's known as Trevor St. John's Todd. This storyline could have played out for years with the...
He's so smart.
I mean, it's just such rich material.
You have a fan here and you didn't turn it on?
Oh, the AC.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I should have turned on the AC. You should have told me.
Shut up! The air conditioner in here!
I forgot. All right.
You got 2 minutes, but here's the thing. We got to talk real quick about the Friday episode that just makes mincemeat of all Friday episodes.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, for those of you who don't know, Todd and Todd met finally two weeks ago, and the two of them had a face-off. It was brilliantly done. But, of course, for those of you who are not in the know, Friday ended with Roger Howers Todd finally revealing himself to the family.
He busted in at the very end of the premiere.
And the premiere had ended. All I can tell you is that's the first thing when I get home, while I'm home. But when she leaves, that's the first thing I'm going to do is watch all my watch
Even
One Night to Live.
But that's what I'm saying. Even more than finding out if Erica actually sees Dixie, right? You're more interested in one. See, he's smiling.
Yes.
That's my problem.
I gotta tell you, Roger Howarth, I don't care. Look, I'm not knocking Trevor St. John. I know Ashley will, but I'm not. I'm not knocking him. And for those of you, I disagree. I think that the writers have done
a
great job. They've done
a
great job of respecting both actors and the work that they did as Todd. Okay. They are not dissing Trevor St. John at all. You know, they're giving him great material, whatever. But for me, Roger Howarth is Todd. He is. And the chemistry.
How funny was it? When Roger Howarth played McBain on the phone.
Yes! He was brilliant.
Tomas calls McBain to tell him the truth about all the shit that's going on. And Todd, the real Todd Manning, answers. And he starts to pretend he's McBain. He's like, McBain. He's like real subtle, real boring, real flat tones, real gruff and husky. And has two words that he says. It was hysterical.
See, that's the difference between the two Todds, though. Trevor St. John never got that aspect of Todd down.
That playful. Yeah.
Todd is mean and evil, but when he does it in a way that it's almost like it goes over your head. He makes a joke of it rather than being vicious about it.
Like when he said about, I told you this on the phone, when he said about, how does anybody believe that guy?
Yeah.
It's Todd Manning. Plastic surgery. Give me a break.
Yes. He has great chemistry with McBain already.
Yeah.
And one more person I gotta give a shout out to.
I know who he is. Give it to.
The black man, Louis, or I think his name was Louis, that found Roger Howard Todd.
Tip of the hat to him.
I'm sorry. I wanted this guy to stay on the show on contract to the end.
He was
so brilliant. This is what I'm talking about. And you can only get that here in New York. Real actors. This guy obviously is an actor. He was so believable. His scenes with Roger Howarth were amazing. I would wanted to see him more of this character. That's how good he was as an actor. Unlike the people that All My Children brings on, those orderlies in the hospital are so awful. There was this one orderly that brought Erica in, and he kept moving his head around. He didn't have no lines, but like Lucy on I Love Lucy, whenever she was trying to get into a movie, he was making sure that he was noticed by nodding his head around.
You got 2 minutes.
What?
2 minutes.
What do you want me to talk about?
Guess we gotta wrap it up.
All I can say is the only thing that I love about summer is the fact that walking around in the Bronx, all the boys are so hot. And the reason they're hot is because they're all natural boys with natural lean bodies. So it's none of that steroid induced or I go to the gym every day and you're
look
bumped
at your
up.
Body.
They're
dude,
all ripped.
Taking a look at
they're
the
all wait, but listen, they're all ripped and they I love it. They're all Puerto Rican Italians, mixed.
I like Puerto Ricans.
This is my own people. Of course I love Puerto Ricans. If I could pick my husband, he'd be Puerto Rican. Puerto Rican and Italian, Puerto that's Rican nice, and huh? Irish, Irish and Italian. All these mixes are in the Bronx. So I love seeing a boy that's like half Puerto Rican, half Irish. They're hot. We call them mixed picks. And then, and then at Orchard Beach, that's all that's there. All these like I don't know if they're from Yugoslavia or where, but we got a lot of those people coming here in the Bronx and they hang out at Orchard Beach. Girl, you have not.
Cha-cha Beach?
Let me tell you something. The boys in the Bronx right now in summertime with their wife beaters or no shirts on, they would knock all these actors out. I wish that I could take pictures of them and put them on my Facebook page because those are the boys that are really hot. These are real boys. They are. I don't know how to do it. Oh, let me tell you something. My head has been spinning everywhere I walk. I'm like, and Sally.
My head is spinning because I'm so hot.
Sally, most of them.
I'm having heat stroke.
All of them are probably straight, which is really annoying. But you know what they say.
What do they say, Jordan Hudson?
What's the difference? What's the difference between a straight Puerto Rican and a gay Puerto Rican?
I don't know what.
6 beers.
Oh my God.
What's the difference between a gay Mexican and a straight Mexican?
6 shots of tequila.
3 beers. What's the difference between a gay Dominican and a straight Dominican?
1 beer.
Bend over.
Oh my God.
You don't need no beer for that girl. They'll stick it in anything.
You are dumb. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. I cannot. The Popeye Podcast takes no responsibility for other opinions expressed on the show.
We all say that. It's true. They don't care. There's no such thing as gay or straight in their world.
If you want to write us and complain about Jordan Hudson, send it to his Facebook page.
Hi, Dominicana.
If you want to say something to me, Ashley, you can email PVP at PineValleyPodcast.com. Go to Facebook. We hate MySpace. It's Facebook all the way. There's the Pine Valley Podcast fan page. There's Jordan Hudson's page. There's Ashley Mendoza's page. Befriend us. Befriend us. Befriend us. Go to the Pine Valley Podcast Blogspot page. Blogspot.pinevalleypodcast.com.
Now you're just rambling.
Something like that. Just go to pinevalleypodcast.com. Click in. Leave your comments. Leave your ask two thoughts and observations. We want to hear from you. Go to a couple of websites that are in the know and are awesome. www.daytimeconfidential.com. www.weLoveSoaps.net. AMC Super Poster is on Facebook now, so you can check him up there. What else?
Oh, I don't know.
Thank you to Shadow, who we adore. He keeps our blog page going and humming and spinning. Thank you to Luis for our amazing opening intro theme. And who else?
Thank you to Ashley for starting the podcast.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, I don't know who else. Thanks.
Thank you, Jennifer Lopez, for divorcing Mark Anthony. That marriage was a sham from the get-go.
I hope
hours of entertainment.
I hope it's only true that you're screwing around with William Levy because he's a hot girl. That's the rumor. The guy the telenovela saw. Yeah. They're saying that when they send her video, they're saying that like.
I believe that.
Girl, how can you do a video with that guy and then go home to Mark Anthony? I would never go back.
There's a reason why Mark Anthony played a heroin addict.
Yes. Ooh, you know what? I believe it. Because whenever you see him in concert, he's always touching his nose.
I didn't say he's a heroin addict. I'm saying there's a reason why he played one. Because he looks like one. He's so skinny and sallow and nasty But one of the most talented Puerto Ricans in the world.
You know, I won't bust on him. He has a great voice.
I went to a concert with
he's
that
great.
Man.
He's
he
a great...
Was
he's a great.
Amazing.
But this is why videos killed the radio star.
You're right. You're absolutely
man,
right.
As
because
talented as he is and as good as.
Él es
un cara de perro.
Say what again? No, it's true. face of a dog. That's right.
Like, oh, my face.
All right, people, we love you. Thank you most of all to all of you, both of you who keep listening to us.
I know. Terry and Toronto. And Susan and Lee.
That's right, Susan and Lee. So the three of you, we love you.
Thank you, Canadians.
Thank you,
Canada. Thank you, Canada, for keeping our podcast alive.
We love you guys. We love you, all of you. Thank you.
Watch Against the Wall on Lifetime. It started last night. Female cop show. Awesome.
I don't got nothing. Oh, I'm watching.
Drop the Diva. Watch it. Awesome.
Watch Celebrity Rehab.
Don't watch reality shows. Don't you dare. Don't you dare watch those reality shows.
I love them. I love them. Ryan and Tatum's coming to an end. Watch that too. That's no shit.
Treme on HBO. Get into Treme.
I don't have HBO no more. I can't afford that shit no more. I downgraded my package.
Do you get ABC?
She gets ABC on the iPad.
She gets ABCs on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
We love you, people. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
My back is killing me. Oh. All right, everybody lie down. Get ready for the corpse.
Oh, please, Janet, get over the corpse pose. We know it's your favorite. Could you try to be a little less morbid, okay?
What is so morbid about a corpse?
See, this is why I so don't belong in here.
You killed your brother.
Well, at least I didn't kill my husband.
At least I didn't kill anybody. Recently. Not for want of trying.
Oh, would you all please stop comparing body counts? And we should listen to you because you're the sane one.
We've got a new patient.
Oh, great. What new ghost from my past? Oh, I got the cure for whatever ails you ladies. Makeovers. Glamorama, Glamazon Power will save you all. Oh, there must be some mistake. This woman is not crazy.
Scissors! Anybody got scissors? Who wants to be first?
She was trying to trim the hedges at the gate, shape them into hearts.
Oh, I'm going to sign you up for arts and crafts class.
Oh, I have to take care of that. Just wait here until the doctor's ready to see you.
Opal, what on earth are you doing?
I think you could use a mud mask or maybe just some hair. I mean, let me take a good whack at that hair. I got my snippers here.
I like my hair just the way it is, Opal, okay? Yeah,
what are you gawking at, girly girl?
You're not crazy.
Oh, yeah? Well, no complimentary blow out for you.
Oh, you think I would let you touch me?
At least I wouldn't be using a tire iron.
That was self-defense.
Oh, yeah, and I'm a natural blonde.
You know, I am really happy to see you, although I'm not entirely surprised, you know, with the tea leaves and those voodoo feelings that you get. It was just a matter of time.
I'm seeing a mohawk on you, a blue mohawk.
I will let you snip away as long as you give me some news about my Amanda or her Trevor or even that doctor that she thinks she loves.
And Liza and Colby, any news of them? Have you heard anything about Liza and Colby at all?
You'll have to get reacquainted later, ladies. Yoga hour is over. Oh. Back to your room.
But we didn't do our shavasana.
Don't say shiv anything in front of Annie.
Ladies, please.
Oh, well. What are you doing?
I'm busting you out of here.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
Well, how else was I supposed to get inside these walls? Now all I got to do is get you over them.
You don't think I'm insane?
Insane? A woman wanted to be Erica Kane so bad that she turned herself into the bus and truck version of you. She kept you prisoner while she lived your life. She slept with David. She got engaged to him. And then she had to change heart and she let you go. Seems perfectly clear to me.
You believe me? You really believe me?